Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
Okay, everybody, we are back. We're back from Las Vegas, and we're ready to talk more boxing. It's Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri, and we are presented by PPV.com. I hope everyone enjoyed the PPV.com coverage entire week out in Las Vegas. We were everywhere. We saw you in the live chat. It was a great night where Manny Pacquiao and Mario Barrios fought to a draw. We will talk a lot about that. We were out and about in Las Vegas. We're back in our podcast saddles, we should say, right? Chris Algieri, my man, is here.
Yep, back at it. Caught the red eye Saturday night right after the fight. That's my go-to move. Watch the fight, do the post-fight live, answer some questions, get mobbed by all the media on the way to the airport. And I always had the greatest excuse to not do interviews. I'm like, I got to catch a flight right now. They're like, I'll run with you. I got guys running with me doing the thing. And I'm like, all right, they don't care.
Yeah, immediately. Those guys are like vultures, man.
Their last licks. And yeah, they're what do they call it? They're ambulance chasers. And I get to sit down, lay down in my seat.
Red eye, nice.
I get to sleep. I wake up and I'm home. Yeah, I feel good.
Must be nice.
I slept like 12 hours yesterday. Yeah, not like you, Dan.
Must be nice, because I woke up to a your flight is canceled email, which might be the scariest thing to wake up to on a Sunday morning in Las Vegas.
That and like a picture of like a pregnancy test. Those are the two scariest wake up.
Yeah, I'm sure there are text messages things,
you could ever get.
You've defaulted on your mortgage. Your child's.
Yeah, don't, can we have some fun, Dan? Can we have some fun? Can we?
Your child's college fund is depleted. There's other things, but your flight is canceled. Brutal. So JetBlue, you suck. I got on Delta, Old Reliable. Had to make a quick connection in Minnesota. I was in Minnesota yesterday for about 20 minutes. Got a gluten-free pizza.
Sorry to hear that.
Hopped on the plane.
Sorry, any Minnesota listeners. I'm not trying to shit on you guys, but your place sucks.
No, it wasn't that great. But I'm home, and it was an awesome week. And we're going to talk about Manny Pacquiao fighting to a draw with Mario Barrios. The entire card. Alexander Usyk does the damn thing. Bam Rodriguez does his thing as well. And it was like I'm coming down from the whole thing and like looking at my photos and on the plane and like just doing all that. And I wonder if it came through on the screen for those who ordered the Pacquiao pay-per-view or those who watched it, just how like crazy fight night was, or that main event. Like I texted you from my position where I was up on the stage and you were ringside. I was like, I feel like we're in a time warp. I felt like it was 1990, like we were in a Pacquiao, like,
yeah, like a 2009 scenario. Like Pacquiao's still doing it in the height of his powers. No, it was, the fight week was intense. That room, MGM Grand Arena, man, Garden Arena, that was awesome. I mean, it was electric. It was intensity. The lights, the people, the crowd, the way they were responding. I don't know, man. Manny Pacquiao special.
It's almost like they were the whole entire arena was chanting his name. And yes, it must have felt so cool for him. Like, I'm 46 years old. He's just an icon. Like, I went into the week just like a lot of boxing fans did. It's like, all right, he's 46. Like, why is he doing this? Is he doing it for money? Obviously, his rabid fans care. Do all of boxing fans care? I think everyone was locked in on fight night, whether they were watching it or following on Twitter. The arena was packed to the gills. There were Filipino fans everywhere. There's Pacquiao fans in it everywhere. And he put up a valiant effort. Fought, yes, a lot better than I thought he would. Mario, yeah, Barrios fought a lot worse than I thought he would. I didn't really have a lot of high hopes for Mario Barrios heading in. I thought he would win. Let's just get right into it. Pacquiao and Barrios fight to a draw. I'm not upset with the draw.
No.
Because, like,
weird rounds, yeah, Pacquiao hard to score.
Pacquiao did better than I thought he did. And that's like, we get into that weird territory in boxing where you start grading on a curve. That's not how boxing works. And I was like, oh, Pacquiao's doing better. He's probably winning. Oh, he won. But no, he probably didn't. And a draw is probably, he's probably lucky to get a draw.
Yeah. As I was watching and scoring it, and I was in the live chat with people, and there was just so many rabid Pacquiao fans that were like, every time he did anything, first of all, anytime he did anything in the arena, the place went absolutely bonkers. Like it was going to tear down. He honestly, he probably fought 50 to 60 seconds a round. He did not do much. He didn't need to, because Barrios didn't step on the gas pedal at all at any point. He was so listless and just kind of like ho-humming through it. So Pacquiao was able to steal moments, and he did a really good job of stealing the end of rounds and making an exclamation point. And also, we saw flashes of the Manny of old when he would have that little like the flourishing signature in the end of something. He'd make that little movement, bang, he'd pop that left hand, he'd fly out, boom, 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 boom. He'd make those little moves, he'd do the fancy feet, and you would be like, oh, but really nothing happened. He didn't land a lot of punches. Like, it wasn't like anything really effective, but it got everybody emotional. It got everybody, and whereas Barrios was the exact opposite. Everything he did was so workmanlike. He has zero charisma. He has no sell on anything he does. He just lacked passion. I know he's Aztec warrior, but where was the passion? Where was the exchanging? Where was the biting down on my mouthpiece and going for it? So there was a lot of opportunities based on how both guys fought for Manny to actually steal rounds, because Mario wasn't selling it. Pacquiao was. The crowd was behind him. But yes, when you do it, you're looking at it almost like you're almost comparing Pacquiao to Pacquiao. You're being like, oh, he fought really good for a 46-year-old. He didn't fight really good for a 12-round main event champion. He fought really good for a 46-year-old Pacquiao. So you get that idea in your head, like, oh, man, he's doing so good. But is he really? Or are you just voting for the guy that you like better?
Like, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. And we were all on Saturday night. Oh, my God. And Steve Weisfeld's the best judge in boxing. And he had it a draw. And that's fine. Like, a draw or Barrios. Or it was just very close, and you're for all the reasons
I could have gone one round either way or draw. I was right, fine. If Barrios won, I wouldn't be crazy.
Right, Barrios ended strong. He landed a fight high, 17 punches in the 11th round, landed 10 punches in the 12th round. Barrios, like I've said this before, I know I picked him to win. I went on the broadcast and literally said Barrios should win in rounds 1 through 6 because. Like on paper, like, yes, like you're the way he looked, the way you're bigger. Pacquiao's 46. You know, he was so squared up to be hit.
Hadn't fought in 4 years.
Hadn't fought everything there. And Barrios is just so disappointing. And this is not new. If you've been following boxing, you know, like this is two consecutive draws. I thought he lost early on in his career. He just doesn't get into a second or third gear. He stays in first gear. How do you not bullying a 46-year-old Pacquiao? How are you not pushing him around as the bigger man? When he did let his hands go, he landed. Was he showing too much respect? Was he holding back? I just like, dude, you went all week long when you
was
did
he touching
talk.
Gloves every round. What is
right
that?
Yeah. When Barrios did talk and this week or fight week when he decided to show a little bit of personality, he said he had no problem retiring a legend. He had no problem beating him up. You know, the Jinky Pacquiao saying, watching his last fight and saying that, yes, Manny, you can come out of retirement because this guy is so bad. Like that fired him up a little bit. And then he goes in the ring and he does nothing. He goes in the ring and like, I thought it was an embarrassing performance from a 30-year-old champion. Like the fact that it was a draw, you lost, Barrios. You lost, yep. And Manny won. I know it was a draw, but you lost the night. And like people are just tired of watching you. I know it sounds a little harsh, but come on, man, where the heck were you?
Yeah, the fact that the 46-year-old who hasn't fought in 4 years is coming out of retirement had more life in him, more wanted it more than the 30-year-old. You know, defending champion is sad. You're right. And it's a real shame. He missed a grand opportunity to really establish himself and put a nice feather in his cap, have a nice name on his resume. And he just didn't do it. He didn't dare to be great. He didn't step on the gas at any point. I remember you texting me during the fight and being like, this guy just he's got no drive. I forgot what you said. You said something.
No urgency. Really,
no urgency. That's what it was. He was like, there's no urgency in this fight. And yeah, for big swaths of the rounds, he was in control. But then it would get down that last minute or 30 seconds, and then Manny Pacquiao would pop his head up or crack him on the chin with a straight left hand. The crowd goes bananas. Manny finishes the round, you know, moving his head and jumping around and showing fast feet. And you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to give it to Pacquiao. And then like he did that over and over and over again. And I don't know if he felt like he was in control. I don't know if he felt like he didn't want to open up too much and get hurt because he felt the power of Manny. I don't know if
he thought it was in the bag.
Bro. I don't know.
Pacquiao had nothing on his shots.
Yeah, I was talking to Paulie Malignaggi, my boy, and he said that. He's like, yeah, Manny just doesn't have the same feet anymore. He can't generate the power the same way. But he was accurate. There's a bunch of pictures of him hitting Barrios, like, flush on the
chin. He was accurate. He landed 31% of his power shots. He actually outlanded Barrios in the power department. Barrios landed only 25 more jabs. They were only separated by 19 total punches over the course of 12 rounds, do the math. It's razor thin. I just thought Pacquiao, like, looked just good enough. Like, his legs were just good enough, but it also had moments where he was off balance and there to be hit. He was squared up.
He did get hit a lot, too.
He did get hit a lot. His punches didn't have any zip on him. Like, he was still fighting with angles. He was still fighting spirit. He was still showing, like, to the eye test, like, wow, at 46, this is inspiring. That was inspiring. Like, any other guy in there, like any of the other champs at 147 or any of the other contenders at 147, there's two belts missing or vacant right now, would have probably put Pacquiao down. But you have a guy, they chose Barrios for a reason. They just know that he just doesn't have that dog in him, and he's the weakest champion probably in all of boxing. I mean, two consecutive draws when you're the champ. Like, when's the last time that has ever happened?
One to a guy who's barely a contender, who's more of a, I mean, Abel Ramos is, I'm sorry to say it, he's a gatekeeper. He's one of those guys that, like, prospects beat to move on, or they lose to him and have to start over. But that's basically what Abel Ramos is. He's not a world-class guy. And for him to go tooth and nail with him is really indicative of where he's at. And then to go tooth and nail with a 46-year-old who hasn't fought in 4 years is also very indicative. I mean, how many more indicators do you need, you know, for this guy to be like, hey, man, like, you got to make a change. You got to make an adjustment. Let me ask you this, Dan. What was Barrios' plan? He looks like he's not thinking at all. Like, he's just there.
He looks like he's thinking too much and also not thinking at the same time.
It's almost like an out-of-body experience. Like, I feel like he's watching himself just go through the motions because I didn't see a plan. I don't think he wasn't focused on any one round the entire round. I didn't see an entire round where he was locked in. There was no round where he was locked in. The 12th round was by far his best, but Pacquiao was exhausted, absolutely exhausted. He was like fighting on fumes, still selling it really well. He didn't fall apart. I was really impressed with Manny's ability to do that even late. But I like, listen, if you're gonna expect the old man's legs to betray him, you got to push the pace. You got to make him fight. He didn't make him fight at all. Bro, he just let the fight go slow. He let Pacquiao dictate. Yeah, I mean, but Manny. I thought Manny fought a super disciplined, smart, cerebral fight. He knew to slow it down. He knew to steal moments. He knew when he needed to pull it out in the last 30 seconds. I was very impressed with the IQ of Manny Pacquiao. And that was the thing people ask me all week. What was the most impressive thing when we fought Manny? What was the thing that surprised you the most? And I said it was his IQ. And it's very underrated. People don't give him credit for how smart he is and how tactical he is. We did see that on Saturday night.
He averaged 48 punches thrown around, which was his average, I would say, after the Margarito fight.
Who did? Barrios or Manny?
Manny. 48 punches, as steady as it goes. 50 in the first round. Never went as high. His high was 62 in the 10th round. Never went as low as 32 punches thrown. He averaged 48 punches thrown. And I would say, like, from the Margarito fight on, when Pacquiao, that's when I believe was the end of his prime and when he started his decline a little bit. And it wasn't a decline because he still dominated from there on out, but he went down from like 70 punches around to 60 to about 45-48, and that's what we saw from Pacquiao. Like, the guy, it's like muscle memory for him. It was super impressive to come off the couch essentially. I know, and just fight that type of fight. I know he had a guy tailor made for him who was just standing there and not doing anything. I went into it thinking, like, I hope this isn't just like an embarrassing night for boxing. I hope it's not just another old guy, old champion, old legend going in there embarrassing himself. And it wasn't that. If anything, like, we walked away like, holy shit, like, Pacquiao, this guy's something special. He's literally a one of one or one of the greatest to ever lace them up. Didn't embarrass himself. If anyone's embarrassed, it should be Mario Barrios. Because, come on, bro. What was that? I just can't believe. I can't believe it, but I can't at the same time.
It's one of those things, like, in hindsight, you can believe it because then you just think back to, you know, Barrios's last couple performances or things he's done in the past. And you really look behind the numbers and how he got here. And it's like, yeah, this guy, he's been given so many opportunities and he just doesn't live up to it. I mean, yikes. He had such a great opportunity here.
I don't know this for sure, but I heard some rumblings that he was like, what the heck? You know, they was telling him to do.
Well, he said, stop touching gloves. And then literally that round, as he walks out of the corner with Bob yelling at him, don't stop touching gloves. He touches gloves with Manny Pacquiao to start the round. Like, you're just not in the fight. You're not listening to your corner. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not acting like it was a fight. It was a sparring session, essentially. You got this old man in front of you, and you're letting him dictate the pace. Was it respect? Was it fear? Was it the moment?
I think it was the moment. I think it was like we're all humans. It was like a lion's den in there. Like I have a video on my phone where it was just like 100% Pacquiao.
Yes.
And there were many. It was just a lion's den. It was so cool. Like it took me by surprise. And I feel like me and you have seen everything in this sport. And like especially being there all week, you get a feel for fight week. You know, the weigh-in was pretty packed. But I was like, all right, I wonder what it's going to be like on fight night. I wonder if it's even going to be sold out. Like that place was – there wasn't a single seat left in there. Awesome venue. I'm so happy that they went back to MGM Grand Garden Arena. It's just a classic. It's you don't always have to do every fight at T-Mobile, but –
Listen, I fought the guy. I get it. The it's crazy. It's the crowds, the way the people are. Like that's part of it. That's why I always say it's not just a fight. People ask me, "What's it like fighting Manny Pacquiao?" I'm like, "Well, it's not just a fight. It's an experience." Like, and I'm not talking about the experience of even just walking to the ring and being in the ring with him, and then the crowd is going absolutely bananas when he does absolutely anything he does, every movement he makes, the crowd goes crazy for. And you hear that, and you feel that the energy in the room. You're not fighting a man. You're fighting a force. You've got everything around you that you're fighting. And then also just everything leading up to it, the media swarm that you have. Fight week's out of control. It's nonstop. Your head is spinning the entire time. But it's months. As soon as you sign that fight, as soon as it's announced that you're fighting Manny Pacquiao, it begins. The Manny Pacquiao experience begins when you sign the dotted line. And then it just goes and at breakneck speed until fight night. And yes, it must have overtaken Barros because he just did not perform.
Oh, come on. Like, you fought Pacquiao. That was your first big fight. Like, Barrios was on the Netflix stage with Tyson and Paul. He fought Tank Davis. He fought Keith Thurman. He fought Ugas. I know it's not the same thing as Pacquiao, but like, I'm not exactly thinking that's the reason. I just, it's just the way he fights. Why are we expecting him to be something that he wasn't? Yeah. Like, the 1-6.
Not all champions are built the same. Yeah. Not all champions are built the same, man. And dealing with the moment, one of the big things that, you know, I always say about champions that what separates the champions from everybody else is the ability to adjust on the fly, but then also it's being able to perform when the lights are on. And, you know, I've had a lot of big fights in my career. I've had some go really good. I've had some go really bad. But no one's ever going to say I didn't try. I didn't go for it. And it's just that's what bothers me more than anything, because I always said this in my own mind before a big fight on Saturday night. I said, whatever you do, Chris, you know, if I was worried or whatever, just thinking of normal fight pre-jitters. I said, whatever you do, Chris, talking to myself in my own internal monologue, which I found out some people don't have. Like a good amount of people don't have an internal monologue. Very weird.
Those people scare me.
Yeah. Those people are amongst us. They're walking around. So I'd have my own internal monologue and I'd be like, Chris, whatever you do, don't wake up on Sunday morning and wish you did something more or wish you tried harder or wish you did more. And I tell my nephew that all the time too, whenever it's a fight. I'm like, listen, win, lose, or draw, it all happens. We fight. Fighters, warriors go out and they die in battle. This is what we're warriors. This is what happens. But don't wake up the next day and wish you did more, because that you will never forget. That will never leave you. Wins and losses will fade. Scars will heal. All of that. Noses, broken noses will heal. Broken jaws will heal. All the bones, whatever. That shit will all go away one day. But the regret of not trying your hardest will never go away. And that will keep you up at night. So when you see a guy do that, I'm just like, nothing concerns me more for a fighter's future than, you know, them not going for it.
Yeah, well, I don't know how Barrios feels. I don't know what his team is telling him. I don't know. Like, if I was him, like, he has to think, like, I just gave up a golden opportunity here. And, you know, I didn't leave it all in the ring. Did I take it too easy? Pacquiao has talked about wanting to fight on. He says the journey is not over. We got a draw. Usually when we have a draw in a big fight, we get a rematch. Will we see Manny Pacquiao versus Mario Barrios 2 at the end of the year? I think so. What do you think?
Once those pay-per-view numbers come out, we'll see.
I don't think that even matters. Like,
I think it does.
If Pacquiao wants it.
Sean Gibbons already went out and said that they're not really interested in the rematch. From what I saw, he said he's talking about
who said he's not interested in the rematch.
Sean Gibbons.
Well, yeah, because they can say, you know, they can dream bigger. They can dream bigger.
Well, he mentioned Gervonta Davis. I mean, what's bigger than that? Floyd Mayweather. Floyd's there.
Pencil tank into anything right now.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you don't think he's going to sidestep, you know, Lamont Roach for a Manny Pacquiao fight? Make that one next?
Yeah, because money talks, and Tank was in negotiations to fight Jake Paul. So nothing shocks me. for Pacquiao, the rematch is right there. If he really wants to get that belt, it's still going to be a tough fight. It's not going to get easier for him. I mean, he's going to be older. I know maybe he'll be in better, like more in rhythm, like another training camp. But come on, I mean, it's not going to get easier.
No, it's even if he fights Barrios again, it's still a tough fight. And it's, you know, training camp's going to be tough for a 40. He's going to be close to 40, he'll be 47 in December. But also, my argument to that is, listen, he came off the couch from 4 years off and came into this fight and fought that well. Now he's going to have double back-to-back camps. He didn't take a lot of damage in the fight. Yes, he got hit a lot, but like Barrios didn't really...
fucked.
Yeah, it was all jabs. I've never seen Manny get hit with double, triple jabs. Like, he was getting hit with jabs sometimes.
His head was Pez snapping Spencer, back.
Bang. I've never seen that. Listen, I tried to hit the guy with jabs. I hit him with a couple, but doubling up on a jab with him was very hard because he used to be so fast. It's obviously not anymore. But I think he's got another training camp under his belt. He found his timing and his rhythm with that guy. Barrios is so slow. I mean, he's going to find that rhythm. He found his rhythm right away. I was so impressed. I was like, whoa. At first round, I was like, rhythm's off a little bit, but he's making it work. And then round two, I was like, oh, no, shit. He lands a big left hand immediately. And I'm like, oh, he's got his rhythm. So it wasn't hard for him to find the rhythm the first time. He's going to have it the second time that much quicker.
There's the Barrios rematch that's right there to be made. There's a Tank Davis fight. There's a Floyd Mayweather fight. There's maybe looking at the other champs at 147, whether it's Brian Norman or Devin Haney. I don't think he should go that route. He's too old, too slow. It's going to be dangerous. The Barrios rematch is right there. They could just do that again in December in Las Vegas. I know Gibbons will, when Team Pacquiao will talk about bigger names, they could be posturing and looking for a better deal. But, you know, it's right there to be made again. I don't know if there's an appetite for it. He's definitely going to fight on. That's for sure. Like you said, my journey's not over. You don't put a performance like that together and get that high and also see a sold out arena, which equals dollars, which pay-per-view numbers should be decent, which equals dollars. You didn't get beat up, which equals dollars. So, like, it's not going to be over. They're going to try this Barrios thing again, or they're going to look for a bigger fish, or it could even go to Saudi and see what's over there. So I just think the Manny Pacquiao journey is not done for 2025 and possibly beyond, which is wild.
Rolly Romero is another one that Sean Gibbons threw out, which Manny could beat him too, by the way.
He is the champ.
Rolly is champ. So that fight makes a lot of sense. The buildup would be great because that's one thing about Mario Barrios, his marketability. You would think he's marketable. He looks marketable, but...
He looks the part.
He looks the part, but that's it. And
brutal. Brutal interview.
Yeah. Rollies, though, he's very marketable. He'll sell a fight. He's interesting. Size-wise, he's not a real welterweight. You know, Manny's probably bigger than him. And, you know, we've seen Rollies get KO'd at 140 against Isai Cruz, who did not look good on Saturday night either. And... I don't know. I think that's a super viable fight as well. I think it's easier than Tank for sure. It is a title. The money will be. And listen, Manny's moving the needle, so I think the money's going to be there for everybody, for anybody. But if you're trying to make him the oldest welterweight world champion, you know, it's either the rematch with Mario or it's you move on to Rollies.
But does Rolly have a secondary title or is he elevated?
Is it going to matter? You know, if Manny wins, you know, if Manny, they're not going to just make him. You know,
but like Barrios has a legit title. Like I'm pretty sure Rolly has the secondary title. But Rolly is his star couldn't be any brighter than it is right now. Coming off the Ryan Garcia win, so yeah, that's another name for sure you can throw in the mix too. But Pacquiao will fight again, and it will be a big fight because he's shown that he still can bring eyeballs. Over to the co-main event, Sebastian Fundora wipes out Tim Zhu, drops him in the first round. Just pummels him. Tim Zhu did go down swinging, landed some big shots. It wasn't as good as their first fight, but it was still entertaining. So Fundor is at age 27 is really coming into his own now. I feel like he's got his grown man strength. He battled some adversity with some losses. He's been through the ringer, knows the business as well too. He's been in some big fights, been pulled out of some big fights. He's kind of seen a lot in his 27 years or his short boxing career. But he's one of the big players at 154 now. Did he gain your respect on Saturday night? Because I know you always haven't been the highest Fundora guy.
Yes, and I said that during the live chat. I was like, this guy starting to use his jab and fighting from the outside makes him a problem for absolutely everyone. He looked like a completely different fighter. So we saw him in the zoo first fight. Once the blood started pouring and his nose was already broken, and Zhu was blind, he went to the jab. He got to the stick. He got to the outside. But it wasn't a very good jab. It was just it was a functional jab. It wasn't diverse. It wasn't deceptive. He was just putting it out there because he basically had a stuck pig in front of him who couldn't see and was just walking into anything. And he just kind of put it out there. This jab was different. He was varying it. He was using it to set up nasty left hands. I mean, those first four rounds, he was ripping shots, especially that left hand. I was like, yeesh. And he still fights really well on the inside. He turns that thing over. He hooks it instead of throws it straight. He's got a good right hook, especially to the body. The uppercuts are brutal. On the inside, they're so tricky. He hit Zhu at one point. They were like tied up. He hit him with like four uppercuts off the rear hand. Oh. Bing, bing, bing. I mean, he is a dangerous, dangerous guy. But he gets hit way too clean. Yeah, my God. And this is why we saw him get iced with a single shot against Brian Mendoza. Brian's a solid guy. I don't think he's a world-class puncher, but if you can hit a guy that clean on his chin, almost at will, at certain times, it looked like Tim was just waiting for those shots. Like he thought a single shot was going to do it. Tim just doesn't hit hard enough. I know he's a good puncher. I know he's physically strong. He's just not a one-punch guy. And at 54, I just don't think he's got it like that. So when he was looking for those single shots, it was never going to be enough. I know they were dreaming on it, hoping on it, because literally the fight ended when he landed the best punches he had ever landed the entire night. Probably the best punches he had ever landed against Tim and however many rounds they spent with each other. And when Fundora opened up at the end of the round, Tim was like, I'm done. That was it. Yeah, I hit him with my best. And then he came back, and then he quit in the corner.
Stepped in. The corner made the right decision because Zhu was taking extreme punishment. I'm looking at the punch stats for the first time.
He was exhausted.
Fundora landed 29 of 88 in round two, 32 of 100 in round four, 17 of 100 in round six, 94 punches in round seven, landed 31 punches. That is an unbelievable pace. And was jabbing more, like you said. Like he threw 41. Oh, my God. He threw a lot of jabs. Like he threw 300 jabs in the seven rounds.
Yeah, that was. So how many jabs around is that?
I have my calculator here. It's a lot more than Fundora's ever thrown in his ever. Which I was watching the fight with. I was watching the fight with Keith Thurman, and
oh nice.
Yeah, he was up on the stage getting ready to jump on the broadcast, and it was kind of cool. Like, we're sitting there, and he's scouting because he's in the mix to fight one of these guys because whether you like it or not, he's in the mix. He's with PBC, and he's at 154, and he's sitting there, and he's watching, and he's like, man, if I was fighting Fundora, he goes, this is the only time in my career where I would load up on one shot and try to knock him out because I get really low. And like he's giving me his game plan as he's watching the fight. I'm like, oh, that's exactly
what Tim was doing too.
Yeah, he's like, that's actually cool. Keep going.
Well, Thurman's a he's a thinker. You know, he's a thinker in the ring, and he sets traps and he sets plans. So yeah, I honestly liked that fight. I like Thurman and Fundora. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Fundora needs one of those names, one of the old guard, to come up and see if he can deal with that type of guy. But also, I was gonna say, I think the biggest winner of the night is Keith Thurman. He fought both guys in the main event. Right, beat Mario Barrios, and he lost to Manny Pacquiao. But it's Manny Pacquiao. Now Manny Pacquiao comes back, looks as good as he did. So Thurman could be like, dude, he still got it at 46. He beat me 6 years ago. Like, okay, I can, you know, and it was a close fight. I could take that loss. And he's like, I beat Mario. Mario should have won this fight. So like, he comes out looking really good on both ends, regardless of really what happened in the fight. And then the co-main event, which was a really fun fight to watch, he's going to get the winner. And unfortunately, I think that was the only caveat, is that it's Fundora and you got to fight this guy who's 6'5". But he got to see him up. he got to see him up close. Just like you said, he's like, all right. He's already thinking like, all right, how would I fight this guy? Because he saw those shots that Zhu was able to put on that chin of Fandora. And Fandora looked sturdy that night, but he's not looked sturdy in the past. And I think Keith is more explosive than Tim as a puncher. Not as big in terms of the size, obviously, but if he hits you with that shot you don't see, one of those big overhand rights, one of those leaping left hooks,
I don't know if fans are into that. I don't know. Like, he's not even in the top 10, Thurman. Like, I posted an interview with Thurman, a little quick little thing I posted on my phone, and, like, the overwhelming responses were, like, we don't want to see Keith Thurman fight.
Oh, wow.
Like, especially Fandora, because they want to see Fandora Bakram. They want to see Fandora Virgil Ortiz. They want to see Fandora Zayas. They want to see Fandora Boachuk. I mean,
Did you see Murtaz Aliyev say what he said about leading into this fight? He said, no. I hope Tim wins. He said something like Fandora is and he gave like some derogatory mark, not derogatory, but he said something like he's a dumbass or something like that. I think it was actually dumbass. He was
like, I don't know if Bakram runs his Twitter.
Right.
It's very much reminds me of Adamas's Twitter, and it very much reminds me of Janabek's Twitter, and that it's just like this, it's some part, one of his friends, like, pantomiming as the fighters, which is weird.
Maybe it's Grok. They got the Twitter AI to do it.
Yeah, like, call out Tim Zhu. Call out Fandora. But yeah, Fandora was a big star, and he also got accepted into Harvard Saturday morning, which awesome. Came out of nowhere. I wish that would have, like, it's awesome. I wish they would have told us that, like, during fight week, because I would have geared a lot of my questions a little bit more towards that. But, you know, this guy is something special. He's very marketable. He's been on huge stages now with the PBC. He's like, he's more than just like, oh my God, look at this tall freak that can throw punches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's really coming into his own, and it sets up some really fun fights at 154. Obviously, there's the Thurman fight, which is just like a piece of business with PBC. There's the Bakram fight, which would be a unification. Virgil Ortiz is looming. You got Boots out there. You got Erickson Lubin. There's a ton of guys at 154. Conwell, who is looking to get back into it. So they're going to take a hard look at some of the other champions, I feel like, with Fandora. I would not be shocked if he went over and looked at Saudi Arabia, because Samson Lukowicz, who was steadfast on, I don't need to go over there, just is now bringing his biggest client in David Benavidez to Saudi Arabia. And Fandora has been on the outside looking in on some big fights at 154. And now, you know, his star couldn't be any bigger. And I would not be shocked if there's some link up between, if we see a picture of Turkey and Fandora sometime soon, or if you see Fandora and Thurman on a card at the end of the year. Could it be Barrios Pacquiao 2, Fandora Thurman? There's your doubleheader, MGM Grand Garden Arena, November, December.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
We'll be
that's,
there too.
That's a good one. What about the Spence looming? The looming Spence. I know he was tweeting during the week. Is that a possibility? What do the fans think about that one? You got to put that question out there. So you said that overwhelmingly they weren't really interested in Thurman. Is Spence, because Spence is such a big ticket seller here in the States. I asked Zhu about that. I'm like, listen, there's two guys looming that have big names that are very popular here. You've got Thurman and you've got Spence. And he was just like, well, if you were to win, obviously this is a pre-fight. and he goes, he's like, whatever one makes more sense. And he goes, he may be Spence because he is really popular and he sells. Thurman made sense because obviously he already fought in Australia and the Australian fan base knows him. So is that anything, Dan? What are you hearing anything?
Oh, I think fans look at Spence the same way they look at Thurman. It's the old guard. Like, they're not really in it for the long run. It's money grabs. It's
inactivity's,
I want to see
helping him.
Right, the inactivity's too much. I haven't seen him in 2-3 years. Like, Thurman's more active than Spence, but there is he's a little bit younger than Spence. Thurman and Spence are the same age.
Spence,
right?
A little younger than Thurman. Yeah.
Yeah, Spence is closer to big fights than Thurman ever was. I don't know. I would love to see in the comments here on YouTube, but I would assume that I have a pretty good grasp of what the fans want to see. I think it's the same boat as a Thurman fight, where it's just like, what does it do for the sport, really? Like, what really is driving things right now is unifications, and there's so many big fights to be made, and there's so many fights that can be made because of Saudi Arabia and Turkey. Like, Fandora needs to look at to unify, and Zayas fights this weekend for a vacant belt. And, you know, Fandora Zayas was supposed to be the fight until Fandora gave up one of the belts that Zayas is now fighting for. So that's something to look at too.
Try and get that belt back. So real quick though, for Team Zayas and the possibility of fighting Fandora, that fight was actually supposed to be the fight, obviously, and then Fandora relinquished the WO. I spoke to Team Zayas before his last fight in the fighter meeting for one of the top ranked shows in New York, and they truly believe they know how to beat Fandora. They said we've studied him stylistically. It's a perfect fight for us. We know how to beat him. We're ready for that fight tomorrow. I don't want to talk about it now, but when we get closer. But I'm just saying. I'm literally heard it from their mouths. They are extremely confident that they will win a Fandora fight.
All right. I mean, it'd be weird if they said
take
they
that with
win.
What you will. I'm not taking either side. I'm just saying this is what I've heard. This is why it's called inside boxing.
Yeah, it was close to being made, and I'm sure if Zayas wins this weekend, they will be banging the drum for it once again, because Zayas is very, very hungry. He's feel like he's been a pro for 10 years, and he's been in these these showcase fights on ESPN. ESPN's final show is this weekend. So that's what one for the guys for Tim Zhu. Before we move on, like, I don't know where he goes from here. This guy's taken a lot of beatings. I don't want to say he's done because he's such a young guy, but like, this is not like two or three fights in a row. It's like, all right, or rebuild. All right, let's put him in there with Conwell. Let's put him in there with another guy and eventually get his way back up because he's so popular. It's like, do the Australian fans still believe in Tim Zhu? Do boxing fans still believe in Tim Zhu? Because I just don't see how he can compete the top. I think he can still compete and make money. Because I don't want to ever take that away from anybody. But Zhu at the top of 154, I don't know if I see it anymore.
You won't say it, but I will. He's done. He's done at the highest level. I don't see him coming back from this at this point. He's had a really tough row, of guys that he fought, a murderer's row, as they say, and caught some bad breaks. That Fandora fight, the first way it ended was really bad and really unfortunate.
So what
the Murtazalia fight? It's Murtazalia fight, man. You got waxed by a guy who's probably really good. Is a dark horse in the division for sure. And who's to say Murtazalia might do that to everybody in the division? We don't know. We got to see him fight more. And then he gets a nondescript win against Joey Spencer, which did nothing for nobody. And then he gets pummeled and stopped in the corner by Fandora. You're done, dude. Like you've been knocked out at the highest level, like legitimately knocked out, and you've also quit at the highest level. You don't really get any. You don't come back from that, especially when you're 1-3 in your last four fights. I'm sorry, I liked him a lot. I saw a lot of potential. There is a lot of potential in him, but dude, when he got rocked and dropped in the first round with Fandora, I was like, oh no, it's not the same guy. Fandora couldn't hurt him in 12 rounds the first time when the guy couldn't see. Now he's getting dropped in round one.
Yeah, I was shocked that Fandora was the underdog. I all week long I was. In the lead up to this fight, I was saying that this Fandora has way more left. Like Zhu is coming in kind of damaged, and it's a big what if he doesn't get cut over the head, does he beat Fandora in the first fight, and does he move on, or does it this play out exactly how we thought it would play out? But taking Fandora, Bakram, Fandora, three fight stretch, very admirable.
Yes.
But he did not come out of it unscathed. He came out of it beat up, and he came out of it with 0-3, which is
admiral
crazy.
Doesn't help in. Being thought of as admiral, being thought of as in boxing doesn't help when you're trying to be a superstar. It's unfortunate.
And,
it's unfortunate.
Turkey tweeted something about him after and then deleted it.
Yeah, that was not cool. That was bad. It was really distasteful to do that to a guy who just lost. Like, getting personal, with this kind of stuff is pretty vile. I don't understand.
I asked him specifically about Turkey on fight week, and he said, I have nothing against him. And this is before the tweet, obviously. Nothing against him. I would love to.
Guy.
Yeah, I'd like to meet with him. And Zhu in the past has said, I don't feel like I need Saudi Arabia because he has a whole freaking other country, his home country behind him. And they travel, their whole media travels with him to the States. They had a whole setup for Zhu. But I'm curious to see where he goes and where, because I believe he's just about 30 or not even 30 yet. So.
I think he's 30, yeah.
Yeah, tough times for him. The undercard, we'll go through it quickly. Pitbull Cruz beats late replacement Salcido. It was a decent fight, nothing crazy. Brandon Figueroa.
Impresses no one.
I think Brandon Figueroa fights too.
Pitbull, man, I don't think Pitbull's. I don't think he beats anyone in the top 10 at 140. He's in the wrong weight class. Go to 35, and even there, he's just not special. I was going off in the chat about Pitbull and just how unimpressed I am with him. And then yeah, Brandon Figueroa, I thought he lost. I thought Jouet won handily. The scorecards were amazing. When I heard a unanimous decision, I was like, wow, everybody noticed that. It's good. Jouet is got him. And he's finally, and I said, I predicted him to win because I think he's due to win one of these. And when they went the other way, I was like, what the hell are we watching? Jeez. Figueroa, yeah, I think he's dead at the weight. He just looks listless. He doesn't look special. He gets into just wars.
His fights are just not pleasing, like aesthetically. It's just like him standing on the inside, hunched over, smothering his work, throwing pity pat punches. Yeah. Like it once was great when he fought Fulton, that was 2021. Like that's 5 years ago. And when you're at that weight, you can't sustain that unless you change up your style. He tried to change his style, try to go back to his old style. He gets a gift decision here. I don't know where he goes on from there, but that was the full card. Let's head over to the heavyweight portion of the show. I feel like this is crazy. We're 40 minutes into the episode and we're just now talking about an all-time great. Alexander Usyk knocks out Daniel Dubois in the fifth round, dominated him. I didn't think Dubois won a single second of those five rounds. Usyk is unreal, man. This guy is now being lumped in with some of the all-time greats at heavyweight. He's now beaten Joshua twice. He's beaten Fury twice. He's beaten Dubois twice. He's cleared out cruiserweight. He's cleared out heavyweight. He's undisputed for the second time. Every accolade you could possibly do, and he's done it in under 25 fights. We're watching greatness. We're running out of superlatives. We're running out of ways to describe this man because this was systematic. This wasn't a 12-round beatdown, Chris. This wasn't moments where Fury has some success, moments where Joshua has success. He dismantled Dubois, who couldn't have been riding higher into this fight coming off of the win over Joshua, and he knocks him out, leaves no doubt. He's knocking guys out now at 38? Is that what we're doing?
I'm going to go back to the one word that I used, and I went like slightly viral for this last year after the Tyson Fury, I think maybe the first fight. I was like, the guy's unbeatable. You can't beat him. I don't see him losing. He just doesn't know how to lose. The guy just finds a way to win no matter what. And now he's finding ways to win and just separating himself from all these guys. And I disagree. I thought Daniel Dubois came out with a great game plan at the beginning of the round. In round one, he came out relaxed. He was
the first 30 seconds, maybe.
The whole first round. Usyk stole it in the end because he landed a big shot. But like the whole first round, Dubois actually looked really good. He backed Usyk up into the corners. He kept him along the ropes most of the time. He was landing hard jabs over the top. If you go back and watch the first round, I've never seen Usyk get hit that way. He got hit with shots as over his shot. Boom. And you saw Usyk's head go down. I was like, whoa. I'm like, this guy's got a good game plan. He's jabbing with Usyk from a higher position and coming over the top of the southpaw jab. Hard to do with southpaw. It's very hard to do with Usyk. But round two, Usyk comes out, makes the adjustment, and goes, no. You're not backing me into corners anymore. I'm controlling the center of the ring, and I'm putting you on your back foot, and I'm setting a pace that you can't keep.
The pace, the burn is crazy,
rate,
man.
The burn rate that he puts on these heavyweights, and you're watching them melt. I was watching Dubois melt every round. I'm like, he can't keep up this pace. He's got to slow it down like he did in round one. He's not relaxed anymore. The relaxation left Dubois in the very beginning of round two, and then he gets rocked at the end of round two, three, four, breakdown. Then you just see so. Dubois doesn't bend, he breaks. Once you see him start questioning in his own mind, you can see it. He was telling the whole story that he was looking for a place to fall as in coming rounds because Dubois was completely out of the fight. The fighting spirit left him. I know Tim Zhu is called the soul taker. We should call Alexander Usyk the soul taker.
Oh,
he takes your soul. He takes your will to win out of your body, and you just look for a place to lay down. And Dubois did that. The first knockdown, he goes down. I was like, he's going down right away. This fight's over. And then he cracks him with a beaut.
Bro, his mouthpiece went flying. Boom. Like that's what made
mouthpiece
it
goes
even,
one way. Yeah. Dubois goes the other. It was awesome.
That's what made this even more impressive than some of the other wins was just like the pace. The in and out, the jab, the left hand, how accurate it is, and then the finishing power. Like, that's every single facet of the game.
Everything.
And he's doing it at age 38. And
to 27-year-olds.
Right, against guys that they're just bigger and stronger. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he's just a special fighter. He's clearly number one pound for pound. I think it's no his question. Spot. He has it over Inoue right now. He has it over Crawford. He has it over Bam. He has it over Bivol and Better BF. Usyk is number one pound for pound. He's quite possibly the best fighter of this generation or the last 10, 15 years.
In terms of accolades, the only person you could compare is Crawford.
Just Crawford is so inactive, man.
Well, I say that about a lot of guys. I critique a lot of guys' resumes when they're not super busy, because you could have took losses during that time and you didn't, you know, because you were out. You come back and you get the cherry pick a little bit when you're one of those guys. I don't like that. I like the guys who are active and are still like, Usyk's active as hell. Like, he's super active. He stays busy. Like, he's fighting these bigger guys back to back to back.
He's not that.
He's not taking warmth either.
No, he's not crazy active, Usyk, though. Take a look at his. When he fought Josh, it was once a year for a while. But I just think Crawford's resume just doesn't stack up with Usyk's. If you go 10 years, the last
once
10 years.
Once a year with these guys is active. These guys don't fight.
Crawford's also once a year, too.
These guys don't
fight
for years at a time.
It's not like Usyk is that much more busier than Crawford. I just think it comes down to the resume. But if you go with the last 10 years.
Yes, it is, because Crawford will fight. Who is the 47-pounder he fought on the Black Prime show? Who the hell is that guy? Usyk, at least you're taking a year off. Yeah, you're fighting. Usyk comes back to fight Joshua, you know, Tyson, you know, Fury. You can't compare those times.
Well, look at this.
Look at who he's fighting.
Crawford fought twice in 2019. He fought once in 2020. He fought once in 2021. He fought once in 2022. He fought once in 2023. And he fought once in 2024. He's going to fight twice. Once. That's a joke. And then you go to Usyk. It's not that much better. He just has fought bigger names, and he's been in mega fights. Yeah. Usyk, since 2019, fought once. Chaz Witherspoon. Fought once in 2020. Chisora. Fought once in 2021. Joshua. Fought once in 2022, Joshua. Fought once in 2023, Dubois. Fought twice in 2024, once the money came pouring in to fight Fury. And fights once in 2020. They're about equal in terms of activity. It's the
magnitude.
Names. The names are bigger.
Yes.
But if you look at since 2015 on, when Floyd technically was done, like 2017, I don't count that, when he fought McGregor. From 2015 to now, 10 years.
Berto, McGregor.
Yeah, who's better than Alexander Usyk over the last 10 years? Usyk, Inoue, Crawford, and then Bivol. Am I missing someone?
I mean, people are going to say Canelo, but Canelo took losses in there. This guy's undefeated.
Canelo's in the top five, definitely.
Yeah. He's in there. Big fights, obviously, but
he only lost once, and that was to Bivol. I think it's Usyk one. I think it's Crawford two. I'm just gonna get into trouble here. I think it's Inoue three. You can intertwine Inoue and Crawford. Bivol, Canelo, best fighters of the last 10 years. Am I missing anybody?
Well, now we're talking best. We're talking accolades, because there's accolades. Canelo goes in front of Bivol, but if it's fighter, then obviously Bivol.
How can you put Canelo in front of Bivol if Bivol beat him?
Because you're talking about accolades. About accolades.
Yeah. This is why I hate
him at 70. He also fought him at 75. Right. He fought him at 75 too. So it's like
this is why I hate pound for pound lists. Because what the heck is the criteria?
They're thought experiments. Because my criteria is simple. If they're both in the ring, who kicks whose ass? That's my criteria. So if we're going Bivol. Bivol beats Canelo no matter what. But there's other scales where now it's like, well, accomplishments, it's different.
Back to Usyk. He's now being thrown in the all-time great status of heavyweight, which I think is a bridge too far. He's not all-time great. Is he in the conversation?
Yes.
No,
I'm not is he the all-time great? No, I'm not saying that. But
that's ridiculous.
100%. He's in the discussion.
He's in the discussion, which is fine. But he's the best heavyweight of this era. So therefore, you go back. Who's the best heavyweight of the last era? Klitschko. Who's the best heavyweight of the 90s? Lennox Lewis. And there's some great ones in there too. Who best of the 80s? Larry Holmes. Best of the 70s? Muhammad Ali. He's now in that room, Usyk. He's now an all-time great in terms of him being amongst the best heavyweights to ever lace them up. I know that's hard for a lot of the old heads. I had a bunch of people coming after me. Well, back in my day, or I grew up in the era of Larry Holmes. I'm like, okay, yes, that's fine. I'm not saying he's going to beat them, but how can you not put this guy in the discussion?
I'll say it. Come at me. How are you going to beat that guy?
I even asked Joe Goosen, who is of a certain age, and he's not high on Usyk. He's like, I don't see Larry Holmes would destroy him. He said Foreman would kill
him. Bullshit. Larry Holmes doesn't beat him. Larry Holmes lost to Michael Spinks. Come on.
I know. It just comes down to generations.
What are we doing? No, Michael Spinks, what are we doing? Larry Holmes lost him. So like, what are we doing? he's not beating Usyk.
It just comes down to like, it's just the beauty of the sport. There's so much history in it. It's like our dads grew up with the best heavyweight era ever. 70s.
Yeah.
You know, the 80s was good. The 90s was good.
You said it earlier. Nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug. Athletes are different now, dude. They're different. They're built out of different things. You know, you got these guys, the training methods are different. Their conditioning is different. The strength is different. Like I said, you said it earlier, this guy's knocking people out now. Like he's 38 years old. He's knocking out heavyweights. It's crazy.
Well, he Big can't help. Young heavyweight. He can't help what's out there. He can't help if you think this era sucks, it doesn't.
That's the
it's not
Roy
as
Jones
bad
effect.
As the Klitschko era. It's not as bad as the Klitschko era, and it's not as good as the 90s. It's close. The 90s were definitely better with Holyfield and Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis and Tyson for the first half of it. Usyk can't help that, but it's the matter in which he's doing it, bro. He's beating guys twice. He's circling the block and knocking them out. He's circling them and beating them worse. He came up from cruiserweight. He's outsized. Mm-hmm. He's not big. Like, it's crazy. And I don't want to spend too much time on that because it's silly and that's part of it. I still think we're in the present, too, with Usyk, which is crazy. He's running out of guys to fight. For Usyk, I don't want to see him fight Tyson Fury for a third time. I would welcome Joseph Parker and I would welcome Ajit Kabayel. Batuma, too soon. But those are, like, it's Parker and Kabayel and then right off into the sunset or maybe take Atuma after that. But like as of now, I think it's definitely Parker and Caballero up next, or should be.
Sue me, I like Tyson again.
Why? What do you see in that fight?
For it. I think the first two fights are fun. Yeah,
but he beat his ass, bro. He freaking dominated him.
But I mean, dominated.
Dude, he should have been knocked out in the first fight. The ref saved him.
He didn't, and it was a close fight, very close fight, split decision.
The second one was even less competitive.
It was less competitive. There was a less urgency, but I think I don't know. I think Tyson goes for it. Maybe gets knocked out this time. I don't know. It's a nice close on the capture on the chapter.
But wouldn't you rather see Fury fight Joshua?
I like the Parker fight because he deserves it, but it does not move the needle for me at all. I wouldn't be excited for that fight. I think that's the most exciting fight to be made. It's like nobody wants to see Joshua again. Wilder, no. I think Tyson Fury is, because he mentioned when they asked him afterwards, who was the first name he said? Tyson Fury.
Yeah,
because he knows it's the biggest fight possible. It's the most money there. It's the most entertaining. And then you got to start looking at guys like him. At that level, it gets to a point where getting up for a fight matters. You know, getting up matters. And I think with Fury, he'll get up for that. Does he get up for Joseph Parker? I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. But he still does.
Parker's a big fight.
Yeah. Is it? I don't know.
Parker deserves it. But what happened to the athlete? You believe in that, Chris?
100%. I know he deserves it. I like Parker. I would love to see him get that opportunity. But I don't know. I don't know.
Usyk is so good. Usyk is so good. And he's such. Well, we're talking about him as all time, potentially, competing with Muhammad Ali. He should be able to carry a promotion at this point. He should be able to carry ticket sales. He doesn't need like a huge dance partner at this point in his career. You're watching greatness. That should be the selling point. An all-time great. Like, I know he fired his other promoter, Alex Kresik. I don't know if that's how you say his last name, whatever. Hook up with one of these other promoters and promote Usyk as you're watching an all-time great. And that should be enough. Like, we don't have to see a third fight with Fury. Like, I've just had enough of Fury. Like, Fury should fight Joshua. And Usyk should fight Parker. And then the winners can square off then after that. I can care less after that. Those are the two heavyweight fights I want to see. Frank Warren has... Oh, no, not Frank Warren. It was Turkey. What, you got something to say? Got something to say?
What? why the hell was Jake Paul in the ring afterwards? It gave if I felt like it was Salt Bay in after the World Cup. Like, what are you doing there? What nobody
Bro,
cares.
What do you mean?
What's
he doing there? He generates money. He generates clicks. He generates buzz. Like Usyk welcomed it.
Dude, that doesn't aggravate you. That's like, I don't know. It's just,
it doesn't aggravate me anymore because it's just to a point where this sport is not serious. Like, stop.
Yeah, but that's what aggravates me.
Serious.
Like, I can't take my life serious anymore.
There's no standards in this sport. Like, that's the beauty of it. That's why I loved when Jake Paul entered this sport, because I knew it was going to piss off. I'm not saying this about you, but like, I knew it was going to piss off a lot of people, and they were going to be wagging their finger like, this is a disgrace to boxing. Is it? Boxing is a disgrace in itself. Like, Jake Paul is just gaming the system. He steps into the ring afterwards. I didn't think he was going to step into the ring with Usyk afterwards. That shocked me. Like, I thought that was AI. Yeah. Like, when the stare down afterwards was wild. Like, yes, take interviews before the fight, talk about Joshua, meet with Usyk after the fight and drum up some interest.
Be a presence, yeah.
The immediate stare down with Usyk, I think even Jake was probably surprised by that. Like, holy shit.
He looked surprised. to be in all honesty, he looked very surprised. He looked very uncomfortable. No, why? Of course not. But like,
he's called out Usyk for like an MMA fight. Like, Usyk is not above any of this anymore either.
I don't blame him at all.
Why does the blame always go to Jake? How come it doesn't go to the other guys who are willing to fight him or willing to entertain it? Like, Joshua was willing to entertain it. Tyson got into the ring with him. All the hate went towards Jake.
Aren't him and Joshua
Tyson
like friends though? How much of that is a sell? Him and Joshua, aren't they like, but they like text each other.
They just know there's money to be made, bro. They're just Joshua's at the end. Like, it's just money. They look at Jake Paul as easy fight for money. Like, why wouldn't they do that? Like, even Usyk, who is like a pure fighter, who didn't come up the same way as Fury. He's like more of like a quiet, silent superstar. He's entertaining a fight with Jake Paul. So get on Usyk.
It reminds me of remember Dennis Baranchek? Like, I think during the pandemic, he took like a bare knuckle fight. Like, who's a top undefeated contender, and he's doing bare knuckle against Artem Lobov in like a haystack in Russia? Like, our Ukrainians are different, man. They just fight. So I get it. I see where Usyk fits in all this, because he'll fight anybody. Obviously.
Yeah, it's just like a marketing thing. It's like Jake Paul's the hot commodity right now. He if you do anything with him, it's going to blow up. And I don't know where Jake fits into this whole thing, but I know what I want to see next for Usyk. And if he wants to fight on, he's got nothing left to prove anymore. Like, but I still want to watch him fight. I still get excited to watch him fight. Like, when I
you're watching a master at work. He is a master. Exactly. It's a master.
That's what I mean. Like, I was so excited. Like, I was already excited to watch Pacquiao Saturday night, but like, firing up the laptop in the hotel room as I was putting my suit on to head over to the arena, and I'm like, oh, we get to watch Alexander Usyk. Like, how many more times do we have that left? So I'm not ready to be like retire, but I do want to see like a fresh matchup. I don't think Parker can beat him. I don't think Cabiel could beat him. Turkey puts out a tweet that I want to see Usyk and Moses Atalma, the 20-year-old phenom.
Yeah.
It's the two young Atalma versus maybe the too old Usyk, even though Usyk is showing zero signs of weakness. It's way too soon right now, but we're living in a boxing world right now where we're not like letting fights marinate anymore. We're just jumping into these types of things. And if Turkey wants it, he could throw a dollar point at both of them that just blows every other fight out of the water.
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier. This is kind of like the Michael Spinks. Like, oh, okay, we're gonna get Mike Tyson, because Altuma's like the new Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. And he's young, he's 20, and then we're going to put him in with Michael Spinks, who's a little long in the tooth and is probably really afraid of this guy. But that's not Usyk. Usyk's not old. Usyk's not afraid. I would hate to see Altuma get thrown into a fight like that. Because I think he needs more development. I mean, he's awesome. I think he's going to be a problem for a long time, and I think he's going to be potentially the future of the heavyweight division. Why put him in right now? Because just like you said, that Ukrainian is showing zero age on him, zero mileage on him. He looks awesome. He looked better than ever the other night against a really tough, strong, young guy. So I don't think the timing of that is right.
Maybe in a year. Like, it doesn't have to be next. Like, if Atuma beats. He's fighting. He's fighting. What's his name? Dillian White, August 16th, and then he moves up. He gets
like
two good ones.
I like that fight. In his progression,
do it in a year. Like, I don't think Usyk's going anywhere. Do that fight, Alma versus Usyk. I love the idea of it. I love it. The changing of the guard type of fight. Old versus young. This is a storyline in boxing that we've gotten numerous times over the history of the sport. It's just like too
but
soon.
I don't think Atuma's ready to take the mantle. I don't think he, even if he were to win, I don't think he'd be ready to take over the division.
No, he's not a household name. Like, I've never even seen an interview with him. Like, he's not a household name whatsoever. But, you know, it's something that Turkey tweeted out there. And when this guy wants some, he gets it. Before we say goodbye, quickly, I know we just buried this in here, but Bam Rodriguez also picked up a win. Workmanlike effort, stops Cafu in 10 rounds, unifies the division, is now ready to fight Puma Martinez in November on that massive Ring 4 card. Just more Bam doing Bam things, the cutting angles, dropping fools, top five pound for pound.
His in and out with his jab, he's out there and he's using his jab and he's pawing with it, touching in and out, boom, boom, boom. Everything is so precise. He looks like AI. He looks like an AI boxer. The way that he's doing everything right. He's touching, gauging it, range, boom, boom, boom. Then he cuts an angle, boom, 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 boom. And it's just like, he just gets you, just fakes you out of your shoes. And yeah, it's Bam doing Bam things. He gets the knockout because that's what he does. He calculates. He takes in the data just like AI, and he breaks you down and finds your weakness. The kid is so damn good. And the Vegas odds were spot on. They were like, I think he was like a minus 5,000 favor, something out of control. Yeah. And Cafu, I spoke to Robert Garcia. They were worried about him. They're like, this guy's tough. Like, I know he doesn't have that many fights, but he's big, he's long, he's strong, he's hungry. But nope, Bam does Bam things.
I would say if you're a new fan of boxing or if you're just shown some of the sport for the first time, Bam Rodriguez would be on a very short list of people you should watch.
Super
special.
It's
like Sweet Science at its best, like the angles and how he goes about it. And he's super young and he's taking on the best challenges. And now we head into a huge fight with Fernando Martinez over in Saudi. And the curse got broken. He didn't falter, Bam. He's just too damn good. I didn't watch the Pacheco McCombie fight. I know Pacheco won.
I watched it yesterday. It was pretty workmanlike. Pacheco won almost every round. They got a nasty headbutt, I think, in the second round that split open McCombie. He was really bloody.
Yeah, I saw that
the end.
On social.
McCombie showed that he's there. He's in there. He's very, he makes these really explosive head movements and then kind of lunges in and flies in with big shots. Nothing really sustained. Pacheco, very workmanlike, lunch pail type fight, just working behind the jab, looking for his power shots, really couldn't do much. Didn't really hurt McCombie too many times. Probably the best round in round 12, where he put some punches together, had McCombie bloody. But workmanlike fight, win, not much to speak on.
Yeah, that was that card in Dallas kind of got swallowed up because when you have Usyk and you have Pacquiao on the same night, competing card, the third one's not going to get many eyeballs. It's boxing, kind of shooting itself in the foot there. All right, yeah, it's a good weekend, man. That was awesome. I'm tired still. Going to unpack. My bags are still packed to the gills. You're heading to New York, right? Another fight week for Chris Algieri.
Yes, I leave on Thursday. We got the Xander Zayas fight, world title fight this weekend. We're at the Garden.
The final weigh-in. ESPN top ranked show.
Yep, I'm hosting the weigh-in with Poncher on Friday, and then we got fight night Saturday night.
Wild times. Boxing never stops. Never
stops. Neither do we.
If I go to that,
boxing never sleeps, and neither do we.
Neither do we. Hope everyone enjoyed this episode. We'll see you later on this week. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DMs.